Welcome to Open House, the real estate and mortgage show on News Talk 580 CFRA.
If you have any questions about mortgages or real estate, give us a call at 521-TALK. That's 521-8255 or text 580-580. With Frank Napolitano and Paul Rushforth, here is Steve Gregory.
Oh my goodness, all the boys are here.
All the boys are here.
The original cast.
Yep, for show number
800.
Wow. 800. You know what? I'd like to start this 800th show just offering our condolences to both Greg, who's with us right now, Greg Tillier, my photographer, and Frank, both lost their dads over the last 10 days. So my condolences
Thank
for you guys.
Yep.
Absolutely. Thank you. Tough week, but my dad would want me to get back on the horse and get going. So
yeah. You could probably hear him saying that, right?
Oh, now. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Every time I went to see him at the hospice, I'd set up my laptop and work, and he'd say, "Well, you get out of here. Go to work."
Yeah.
So,
yeah. So, and Greg, poor Greg was after the night after his dad passed away, we were trying to find a photographer to cover him. We couldn't. So the next day he was out shooting homes.
So this is the kind of boss you have.
Wow. Because Paul, you don't know how to work a camera.
Well, you don't want me to work the camera, Frank.
I wouldn't want to see the reflection shots.
Mm-hmm. The first thing Paul sent to me was take whatever time you need. So.
Yeah.
Which, thank you.
Until tomorrow.
Until tomorrow. Take whatever time you need tonight, but I need you tomorrow. So, anyways, and we don't even need to talk about breakfast this morning. I don't want to pick on Frank. So, anyways, let's just get on with the show.
Broken clock that's right twice
yeah.
a day.
A day, you bought breakfast for the second time this year. I'm good with that.
All right. Anyway. Not two in a row, though.
No, not two in a row. Never.
All right.
I really thought you were going to buy for the entire lineup behind us, though.
Yeah. What's real estate market's heating up, eh?
Feels
that way.
Oh, yeah. Greg, every time he takes photos of the houses, sends them out in the morning, and I feel like every morning I'm waking up to two and three emails from him with all the houses he shot, but it's heating up. I mentioned 6 months ago, 3 months ago, last show, the show before that, you got to get into this market because it's taking off, and it's taking off quick.
Where's the action?
We're everywhere. We're seeing multiple offers on country properties. We're seeing multiple offers on downtown properties. We're seeing multiple offers on just about everything. I would say if we sell 10 homes, 6 to 7 of them are going into multiple offer right now. Multiple offers. We're not seeing the 100,000, 200,000 over asking. We're seeing, you know, anywhere from 5 to 15, maybe 20,000 over asking, but it will come back. I don't think we're going to see what we saw early 2022, where it was just everything was going 100 or 200,000 over asking.
Yeah, it didn't make sense.
It didn't make sense.
But with the caveat, though, like a lot of agents were underlisting properties knowing they would get that much.
Maybe a little underlisting, maybe a little bit. But like if the house was worth 800, we weren't listing it at 6.
Not you. I'm just saying there were other agents out there
everyone,
who came
yeah.
across
yeah.
properties. I think I remember talking to you about a property that you thought should have been listed at $799, was listed at $699. Well, naturally, you went 150
yep.
over.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, so we were seeing some crazy times early 2022. Then our market, as of probably about June last year, it just started to drop and drop and drop. And since January, we've seen our market increase and increase rapidly. You know, when I looked at the stats this morning, our new listings was a sharp increase last week, but still well below the last 4 years. It's still well below where we were at this time 4 years ago, over the last, 4 years. Sold properties also had a large increase biweekly, and it was over the last 3 or 4 weeks, it's steady increases. And the average sale price had a healthy increase this week as well. So it's we're going to see when the numbers come out. We looked at the end of April. We started the year at $691,000 as our average sale price. By end of January, we're at $612,000. Then we're at $623,000. End of March, we're at $629,000. End of April, we're at $646,000. At the end of May, I think we might be in the 660 to 670 range. So it's that's how sharp it's increasing right now. Yeah, we're making a good rebound, a good comeback. And I'm telling you, like I've said every week for the last 6 months, if you're thinking of getting in the market, don't wait, because I predict in 2 months we'll be sitting here with an average sale price in the sevens. So we're at 646. Just think of how the house that you're looking at right now might be a $550,000 home. Within the next 2 months, that home will be in the sixes. So I'm telling you, if you're thinking of getting into the market, it's time to get into the market now. It's a great time for buyers, but it still is a great time for sellers too. If you're looking to get your house sold and you're thinking to yourself, well, Paul says in the next 2 months, maybe I'll wait a little bit. I wouldn't wait, because people are going to be hitting the market. There's going to be a lot more competition. You'll still get your price. So I would hit the market right now if I was a listing, and if I was a buyer, I'd get in the market ASAP.
Well, here's something. What do you think the market would be like if qualifying was easier?
Here's something that I'd be concerned about in your market. And RBC made a point this week to come out with an article that they think a lot of Canadians are going to be underwater within the next 6 months when it comes to their mortgage premiums. They can't afford it. I wonder, and maybe not in Ottawa as much, but in other parts of the country, how many people are going to sell their homes because they simply can't afford them anymore. They simply will just put their hands up and say, we can't afford to live here. We're getting further and further in the red. Maybe it's just time to sell it, get our equity out, and if we have to rent, we have to rent, or if we have to downsize, we have to downsize. I wonder how many of those we'll see over the next 3 to 6 months based on the fact that
what mortgages are coming up in the next 3 to 6 months?
Well, the mortgages are coming up, but at the end of the day—
What mortgages? Like, what were they paying that compared to what they're going to be paying?
299, 319. I mean, that's what we're seeing for the renewals now. So now, a lot of them have built up some equity, and they're going to 4.5. You can get into 4.5, but even that 1.5%—
It stinks.
Is significant enough because of the cost of everything else increasing the way it has. So if it was just the mortgage, it'd be one thing. But I think what I'm hearing from a lot of people is they're hurting because they've got credit card debt that they never thought they would have. And the minute that you refinance the property, you don't get that 4.5%. Now you're up to 4.89. So now you're talking almost a 2% increase. Mm-hmm. And that's significant. Maybe not as much here because a lot of the renewals that are coming up are in the $200,000, $250,000, $300,000 range because that's what the average house was 5 years ago. So in Ottawa, I think we're okay. But you look at the GTAs and the GVAs of the world and, you know, they're averaging $600,000, $700,000 mortgages there. Now they got to refinance and 2 percentage points on $600,000, $700,000 is a lot when it comes to monthly payments.
We're going to see a lot of people looking to downsize. I agree with Frank. I mean, there's a lot of people that, especially in Jan, Feb, March, and April of last year, we were smart enough to put people into homes as the prices were skyrocketing. And we were trying to let them know that, listen, if you can afford that $1 million home, why don't we look at a $900,000 home just in case something happens to the market? And are you comfortable? If we were going to put someone in a $1 million home or even a $900,000 home, we didn't want to put them in a home with their back against the wall, that if something shifted, they were in trouble because the prices were skyrocketing so quickly. Now, we didn't see 8 rate increases. We didn't see that coming. No one saw that coming. But I do have friends.
Especially the government.
Well, yeah. And I do have friends who we helped them buy and sell, well, especially buy. We helped them buy. And, you know, they're calling me now, and they're like, Paul, I was in a variable. And he goes, like, you know, I was already sort of month, you know, paycheck to paycheck, and I was fine, but I'm struggling now. My mortgage has gone up X amount, $100 a month. And those are the people that I worry about. Those are the people that I think could be ready to sell and downsize.
So what happens to the starter market then? Does that drive the price up if more people are downsizing? Is there going to be more competition for those starter homes?
Well, our starter market right now is really flat, mainly because of interest rates, right? Like first-time home buyers, they're struggling to not only save up for that down payment, but what they would have paid for maybe $1,500, $1,700 a month, they're now paying, you know, $2,700 a month. They just can't afford it. So our starter market is really flat right now. So we need somebody or something to spruce up that starter market. The only thing that will do that, in my opinion, because the prices are still reasonable for those starter homes, but the only thing that has to happen now is for the rates to go down.
Yeah.
You know, and our next rate announcement is June 7th. Yeah, June 7th. We need a flat or a drop for the market to continue to go the way it is. If we have any increase at all, and I've heard of maybe one bank says
it's up in the air.
It's up in the air,
but I'll tell you why it may not happen in the U.S. So right now the U.S. has their debt ceiling, and that expires May 31st, and that's making a lot of people nervous. And, you know, I just don't think that an increase is in the forecast. They can say that there's a slight chance it might happen, but I think for any political party, that would be very dangerous for rates to go up because Canadians would absolutely lose it because it's true. I mean, right now we've seen, listen, the CPI comes out on Tuesday. It's expected that the inflation rate will be in the threes, which is, you know, getting close to where they want it to be. They'd love it to be closer to two. But, you know, I think if we can get into the low threes or high twos, I think they'd be comfortable with that. And once we get to that level, we might start to see the prime rate start to come down. But I'd be shocked if there's any increases moving forward.
Did you not say at some point, though, that it takes about 6 months for each increase to have an effect?
It does. And again, I mean, the last increase was January, so we're getting to the point. And that's why Royal Bank is coming out with these reports saying that people are hurting, but they had enough to get over the hump. Now they're just at the point where they're almost putting their hands up and saying, okay, it's not changing. Nothing is changing. The rates won't come down as quickly as they went up. That's the problem.
Yeah, and there's and people like living paycheck to paycheck is a struggle these days because everything's expensive.
Yep.
No matter where you go, whether it's a grocery store or a gas station or a convenience store or anywhere, it's skyrocketing. And it's affordability is really tough in this city. Well, not this city, in this world right now. Everyone's going up. I was talking to my real estate coach who lives in Dallas and also in California. And he was saying that the American markets are really, really struggling, even though their prices are going up, but their interest rates are through the roof. And he says it's the affordability is, I mean, people are selling their homes and living on the streets. Like, it's just, it's crazy out there right now how tough it is to live in this world.
Is the delinquency rate on the rise here?
Not yet, but it's expected. The default insurers expect that over the next last six months of the year, they'll start to see an increase. But interestingly enough, their forecast is that the delinquencies will go up to where they were in 2019 pre-COVID. So they've actually dropped during COVID and over the last 3 years, but now they expect them. So they went all the way down to 0.16 where they used to be a 0.26. So they expect them to get back up to that 0.26.
Still very
which
low,
is,
though.
Which is beyond acceptable to them. So,
but you know what's skyrocketing right now because everything's so expensive? Well, bankruptcies, but also credit card debt. People are just, I mean, they can't afford anything. So everything's loaded on their credit cards, and credit card debt is going through the roof right now.
Well,
so,
luckily, there's very low interest rates on your credit card.
Oh, yeah. 20% is awesome. Yeah. You know what? Maybe in the second half, we'll come with some good news. You know,
like, yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Hey, listen, the good news is the market is healthy and rates are coming down. So that's the good news.
They are coming down.
Agreed. I know they're coming down.
They are coming down.
He knows they're coming down. You say they're coming down?
They're coming down.
They're coming
down. Rates are coming down. Hey, there's no answer.
We were supposed to save the good news for the next segment.
There we go.
521-TALK, 521-8255. We'll be right back.
We return to Open House, the Real Estate and Mortgage Show on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Welcome back. It's the good news segment. Well, we'll find out. We'll see what Scott has to say. Let's go to beautiful downtown Vars. Say hello to Scott.
Scott is our first caller of show number 800.
Yes. What does he win?
He gets an answer to his question. Go ahead, Scott.
All right. Perfect. Thanks, guys. I briefly talked to Frank a couple weeks ago. Basically, I have a single detached home in the East End that is tenanted. I have a 2.09 mortgage rate, which still has about 3.5 years left on it.
Wow, and good for you.
I'm building a home right now. So I've talked to my bank, and if rates are at where they're at right now, I'm probably going to need to port my mortgage. So to do that, I'm going to have to sell. My property's tenanted till May, and my house will probably be done November. So I'm just wondering from the real estate side, what challenges and what steps would I need to take differently, and how much effect would that have on the sale price having a tenant with a lease till May on it if I'm trying to get like November closing date?
So you're talking about May next year, correct?
No. So yeah, May next year his house is ready, but in November, his house will be ready in November, but it's tenant till next May. So he wanted to keep it.
Yeah,
ideally,
so here's,
but financially it won't work, right?
Yeah. So I'm going through this right now with another friend of mine, and the problem with selling a house with a tenant in it that has a lease is you're now looking for an investor. I mean, when that tenant has a lease, so you're limiting your options a little bit with that. The only thing you can do, and this is the exact same advice I gave to my friend who's doing this right now, is you could try buy out your tenant. You could ask them if what it would take for them to leave. Are they on a good lease? Like, is the payment low, or is it a market payment, or is it above market? What is it?
It's probably a little bit below right now. It's $2,400 a month for a single detached.
Yeah, that is low. So now you're banking on an investor to come in and take a lease that's a little bit low. My advice to you would probably have a chat with the tenant. Mention that you will be selling this house regardless. So could they take a little money now and leave, or do they want to wait till the end of the term? But you will be selling this home regardless. So you're kind of at the mercy of having to work with your tenant right now. You know, and whoever is selling your property for you, whether it's us or somebody else, we could also work with that tenant to help them find another property. But the problem with the tenant being under rent is they're not going to want to leave if they're getting such a good rent, right? Because they know that most likely if they go rent another single family home, they're paying more than $2,400, and that's going to be the biggest problem. And it could cost you upwards of 3 to 6 months of rent just to get them to leave, unless you have a really good relationship with this tenant and, you know, explain your dilemma and see if you can help them find something else, or we can help them find something else. It's always a challenge when you're selling a house with a tenant in it on a lease that's not on month to month. When it's on month to month, it's a little bit easier, but with on a lease, it's a bit of a struggle.
Yeah, you're right, yeah. Paul. I mean, you know what, Scott? I mean, maybe you find them another house that's similar to yours that's looking to be rented, and if that rent's $2,800, you say to them, okay, like you've got 6 months left times 400, I'll give you $2,400. I'll make up the difference for you for the next 4 months, kind of thing. So
Yeah, that's what I would do, is I'd try work with the tenant. Are you on a good relationship with the tenant?
Decent relationship. I know that she wants to move back into her property that has a tenant, and her tenant is moving out in June next year. So her ideal situation was to stay till June because that's easiest for her, no move and that. So that's her ideal situation. But she's went through a divorce, and then this is the temporary situation while her condo she owns is being leased. So
you can't delay your closing by that month?
Well, it's been delayed by the builder and municipalities by 9 months so far, which is why I'm in this situation. So it depends on if they want to, but the builder does not want to delay it more because they've already got the prices locked in and they've already been delayed like 9 months through municipality. It's through Mississippi Mills Municipality, so...
Okay. I'd have a conversation with Frank and just see if there's a way that you can do this with keeping that property.
Well, it's not whether he can do it. I think the question is whether he wants to do it, because then the new mortgage would be at the higher rate, and I think that's what Scott's struggling with.
Could he bridge a month, though?
Oh, it's not about bridging.
No, but if he's closing, if she wants to stay until June...
Well, that's bridging 7 months, 8 months. You can bridge privately, but... the problem, again, is the bank won't let you. Porting that mortgage over is the problem because the closing is so far away. So there's got to be a solution in there. I think you can be creative and have a chat with your tenant, and maybe your tenant has a chat with their tenant, and maybe strike a three-way deal where you can help each other out that way.
Yeah, so. we actually had the same scenario, different person. And we actually ended up giving the tenant 2 months, and they ended up leaving. So it's just a conversation with the tenant to see what you guys can work around. You know,
because it's going to happen one way or another for the tenant.
Well, the tenant eventually is going to have to leave anyways, because, I mean, once they're on month to month, if somebody comes in and wants to move into that house, that tenant's gone regardless. Yeah. So I would just have that conversation with the tenant and say, hey, listen, I mean, the rents are going up and they're going to continue to go up. If you can get into something now, you know, I can help you. We'll find somewhere for you to rent that's comparable. Get them into another property, and potentially, like Frank said, you could make up the difference. If the new rent is, you know, $2,800, like Frank said, and it's an extra $400 a month times however months you're going to have to do that, maybe you say, listen, I'll pay that for you. But keep in mind, that $2,800 rent, probably in the next 3-4 months, will probably be almost $3,000. So reminder of that, too, getting in quicker and sooner.
She's moving into her own place in June anyway. Yeah. So it's the person that's renting her house, I think, where the issue might be.
Yeah. Just it's honestly, Scott, it's a conversation. And, I mean, it happens. We're doing it every day now. We're helping people get the tenants out with compensation, of course. But and the tenant needs to feel that they've been treated fairly. And the landlord needs to feel that, you know, yes, it cost them a little bit to get them out, but they did get them out, and now they can move on with their personal situation.
And do they have to sign off on that?
Oh, yeah.
Physically?
Yeah. There's a form. That needs to be signed, and it's just a conversation with the tenant is what I would do if I was you, and see where that goes.
Or
from
both
there.
Tenants, right?
Or both tenants, yeah. See if you guys can work something out.
Unless for the 800th episode special, Frank will just give me $209 on a new mortgage.
I wish. Yeah. Oh boy, do I wish! But that $209 is a treasure.
Like, oh,
that's
sexy.
Something you do not want to give up.
No,
at all.
Three more years.
Can't
at
give
all.
That up.
No, you can't give it up.
No.
And not only that, the timing will be perfect because in 3 years from now, hopefully rates will be back down again.
Well, it'll be interesting because 2025 is the magic year when we're 5 years away from when the rates started hitting all-time lows. So rates need to be low. Like, as much as we're feeling the impact now, but people today are coming off of 289, 319. If the rates are where they are today, in 2020 or 2025 when people like Scott are 209 and they got to go to 4.5. That's going to be a problem. So,
yeah.
Good luck, Scott.
Thanks, Scott.
Good luck, Scott.
Hey, listen, how long was that conversation with Frank? Probably short, eh? He doesn't talk very much. He's gone.
He's gone.
I don't want to talk to Frank anymore.
Yeah, you know, that's a predicament that a lot of people are in right now, unfortunately. And there's a lot of people in predicaments where they've actually put tenants into their property, and the rents have gone up so quickly and so high that they're way under rented. And I have probably three properties right now that are way under rented. And usually when I get a great tenant, I don't ever raise the rent. If you get a great tenant, you don't raise the rent. I explained to him, yeah. I'm like, guys, you're way under rented. One of them is $800 a month under rented, you know? And I'm like, you're way under rented.
That's a problem if you ever want to sell to another investor.
Well, so I know right now, if I was to sell, they're all on month to month. If I was to sell those homes, I'm eliminating the investor, totally eliminating the investor. I'm the only one person I'm selling to is someone who wants to move in. And that's a problem. So if you are under rented and you have a great tenant, you still have to raise your rent right now, because otherwise you're eliminating yourself from the rent from an investor buying that property.
And how much are you raising a year?
This year it was 2.5%, which is kind of high. I mean, usually it's 1.2, 1.6. It's based on inflation, really. So it was a little bit higher this year, 2.5. But, you know, when you're thinking of a, you know, $1,900 a month rent, 2.5 is not a lot. That's like, what is that, like 40, 50 bucks? Like, it's not a lot. So.
But it's a lot for some people.
It's, for the, it's for amazing. The tenant, it is, yes.
Yeah,
it
it's
is
amazing how every $50 is means so much to them. So yeah. It's we take it for granted sometimes. And listen, I think landlords get the short end of the stick a lot of time too. And listen, there's some bad landlords out there, but there's more. I feel like from my conversations with people, there's probably more bad tenants out there than there are bad landlords out there.
Because they have the right.
Because they have more rights and they abuse their rights.
Totally.
And it's hard for a landlord because most landlords aren't professional landlords. They're people who just are looking to make a little extra money by having an investment property, and they do what's right by renting to a family who needs it, and then that family abuses the rules and make it really tough for landlords. And there's a lot of people that I know that have been turned off of buying investment properties and won't do it anymore because it's just not worth the fight.
Yeah, we have a client right now that we've helped get the tenant out. But I walked into the house. These poor couple, it's their first and only investment property. They live in Uganda, so they're not, you know, they're not here to look after the house. I went into the house to let the tenant know we're selling it and to appraise it and all that. I was horrified.
Yeah.
Horrified.
Yeah.
There's fresh dog pee and dog poo all over the house. And I looked and I said, do you not clean that? She's like, oh, we'll get around it one day.
Wow.
And I'm like, this is somebody else's home.
Yeah.
You know,
they don't care.
They don't
That's
care.
The problem.
Yeah.
Well, plus you gotta live like that.
Oh, it's disgusting. It was. I walked out. I washed my hands. Like I couldn't even. I didn't want to touch anything.
Well, at least you washed your hands. That's, yeah. That's something for.
And I burned my shoes and threw them away.
521 talk 521-8255. Get you right back.
We return to Open House, the Real Estate and Mortgage Show, on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Welcome back.
Frankie, did I see on Facebook you guys won a big award this week?
We did. Sherry, who did the show for me last week on...
And she was fabulous, very by the way. You weren't missed
extremely
at
grateful.
All.
Do you know how many people said after that show it was the best show they've ever heard? Ever heard, I think they said. And they said, Paul, like you were good, but Sherry was so much better than Frank.
Well, a few people said that we didn't hear Paul. That's why it was so good. So. No, she filled in last minute. I called her actually at 9:30. I think I called you as well, Steve, and said, I'm not going to be at the show, and Sherry's coming in. And she thought I was kidding with her when I said, you got to do the show. She's never done it before, but... Yeah, she filled in very admirably, and was grateful that she did that. And then our Oscars of our industry, which is the Mortgage Awards of Excellence, were held on Wednesday in Toronto. I wasn't able to be there, but Sherry went and represented, and lo and behold, Mortgage Brokers Ottawa won the regional brokerage for Ontario. So
excellent.
That's a prestigious event. 600 people. Kate Bernas from TSN's our MC as well, and. I'm sorry I missed it, but Sherry represented us well, and congrats to all of the brokers at Mortgage Brokers Ottawa.
Is it a first for you?
First for that. Those awards, I think, are maybe 4 years old, 5 years old.
Yeah.
So
these are
it's
the big
a first
ones.
For us. These are the big ones. These are the ones that it's black tie event, and Again, 600 people from across the country, 600 lenders and mortgage brokers from across the country.
Congratulations.
So, thank you.
That's amazing. So black tie event, you obviously wouldn't have been able to wear your capris, right?
I do not wear ties either. So,
yeah. So what do you wear to a black tie event?
I wear a black suit, black shirt, and I'm good, but no tie. I don't do ties.
I don't do ties either. I don't even do suits anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't either, but sometimes you have to. But anyway, prestigious award again. And, it, you know, as much as Mike and I started the company, at the end of the day, this award is for everybody that represents our brand, and everybody should be proud.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. And you know what? Sherry did do a good job. She was super nervous, and she actually, I think you were on the email. She sent me an email afterwards just saying thank you for making it easy on me, because we sometimes like to screw around a little bit
with everything.
You were only paying me back for the fact that when Dora and
Josh
come, I mean, we treat them with the utmost of respect. And
it's because we're happy
to see them. And speaking of Josh, his son.
Okay. Did you see that on Facebook?
Yes, I did. Okay. That can't be Josh's son. Like, there's no way.
Josh Batley's son is the fastest 16-year-old, believe it's 16-year-old in the country. And he put on Facebook a race last week. He was in a race, and honestly, it looked like I would be running against Usain Bolt. He just blew the field away.
So what did he run? 100 meters?
100 meter and 200 meter. But when I say that he beat the competition by miles, like, I think they were still at the 50-yard marker when he was finishing. Like, he's so fast. Yeah. He actually, his son Will actually sent me an email one time. He says, I think it's time you sponsor me now and give me some money.
Good luck with that there.
So anyways.
Well, wait, did you?
No.
Well, now that he's the fastest 16-year-old in the country, I'm going to for sure.
He'll be running in a Rushforth t-shirt.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because he asked for a hoodie and a hat. A logoed hoodie and hat. And I'm like, you're going to race in the middle of summer. Why do you need a hoodie and a hat? They showed him on the podium. There's the hat and the hoodie on the ground with my logo sticking out and everything. Nice. He was auditioning for sponsorship dollars right there.
Nice.
Smart.
Good stuff.
Smart.
So you just showed me something.
Yeah.
That is not great news.
No, and this is what we fight with all the time. And whether it's our association, the Mortgage Professionals of Canada Committee, the board, I know when I talk to them, they always say that it's you know, we'll keep plugging away, keep plugging away, but we keep hitting walls. And, you know, the CMHC president just came out yesterday and said that she doesn't see the need for extended amortizations or amortizations to go up in any way. So, you know, do they have the final say? No, but their input means a lot. And at the end of the day, if you start to get that kind of input, then the chances of amortizations increasing for first-time home buyers are pretty slim.
Do they not see people struggling? Like, do they not take any of that into effect when they see people who can't afford mortgages, can't afford to live right now with the way things are, and they don't think they need to extend the amortization and make payments a little more palatable?
Well, so people that took a variable took a risk, and that's their point. So if you took a fixed, and like Scott, right, at 209, you would have qualified at a rate of 5.25, even though it was at 209. And the thinking is that that's sufficient enough. And, you know, Scott's probably not struggling with that interest rate that he has. The ones that have struggled are the ones that took a variable. And listen, even in a variable, you had to qualify at 5.25. What nobody ever foresaw is the fact that Bank of Canada would increase as aggressively and as quickly as they did, really leaving people in the hole like they are. So, you know, there are some banks, CIBC, Royal Bank, TD Canada Trust, have static payments. So when you have static payments, a lot of those customers haven't seen their payments change. What they're going to notice, though, is when their renewal comes up, is that their amortization went to 30, 40, 50 years, and they got to get it back in line. So we'll see what happens. I think we're 2 years away from, you know, once it all comes to a head, then we'll see where prime is at that point. What changes might occur because of that? Because once those renewals, and like I said, even the people that are in fixed mortgages, if they're coming off of 209, and now the rates at that time are 4.5. That's significant. So the same thing will happen with the variable, because they're going to have to follow their guidelines of, if they started off with a 25-year amortization, they're going to have to go to 20. And if right now their payments are based on a 50-year amortization, and prime stays where it's at, that's going to be problematic. So
how do you? I understand the static payment thing, but. So your amortization, let's say, grows to 40 years. Upon renewal, do you have to bring that right back down to 25?
To 20.
To 20.
Because they registered at 25, and you've you've used 5 years of it, so now it's registered. If it's a standard mortgage, if it's a collateral mortgage, they can bring it back up to 25 and even to 30 if you've got the equity in the property.
That's
so
scary.
So how much would your payments go up then if you had to bring it from 40 years back to 20?
Well,
that's huge.
You're
money.
looking at where interest rates are today, and that's why I say, I mean, it's too early to start hitting the panic button just yet. We just need to know that potentially there could be problems down the road. Today, I think the concern is, you know, like Paul says, first-time home buyers have aspirations to buy a home, and if we can get that amortization up to 30 or 35 years. Like you said, people are living longer.
Absolutely.
People are working longer. I mean, there's not a lot of people retiring at 64, 65 these days. You know, I meet a lot of people that are in their high 60s, low 70s, still working. So why, you know, if you're 35 and you're buying a home with a 25-year amortization, that's at 60. Well,
yeah, but even that doesn't matter because
if
you hit your 30 years and you still have payments on your house, you sell your house.
No, the problem with the system is that you can refinance at the end of your maturity anyway, and if you've got 20% equity, you can bring it back up to 30, and nobody can discriminate against age. So a bank cannot say, we're not lending money because you're 70 years old. Like,
yeah,
we can't give you a 30-year mortgage. They can't say that. So, and they can't decision it based on that. They have to find other reasons to turn it down. So
it
doesn't make any sense.
You know what's a real struggle this day, too, is businesses. You know, I met with my last week or 2 weeks ago, I met with my I met with the person who I have this mortgage with, and I've seen my floating rate, they call it in commercial, they call it floating rate. I've seen it go from 3.85 to 7.8. And keep in mind, on one of my buildings, I have $1 million plus mortgage. Can you imagine how difference of the payment is right now?
And your rent didn't go up.
That's it. And so here's the problem. Here's the double-edged whammy when it comes to commercial. The rates are going up if you're on a floating rate. But everybody knows that commercial's struggling with people still working from home, which I think is a joke, by the way. If people are still struggling, they're not going back to work. So people are – it's like there's a downward pressure on commercial lease rates right now. There's a downward pressure as the mortgages are going up. So, I mean, I looked at my situation, and I'm seeing my mortgage go up about $3,000 a month on my mortgage. But, I mean, the tenants that I have in one of the units is fighting to lower their payments. I'm like, I can't lower your payments as my rates are going up. So you're going to see a lot of commercial space potentially become vacant because it's not really affordable right now with the way the rates are going. And, you know, people are 7.8 on a million plus commercial mortgage.
It's a lot.
Is a lot of money.
Yeah. And you're talking about commercial retail.
Yeah.
It's even scarier is commercial office space.
Yes.
That's the scary part of the real estate in not only in Ottawa, but across the country. If it's accepted that people can work from home more often, then there's a lot of office real estate that's going to sit empty, and that's going to be a problem.
That would have to be converted to homes, though.
But
to housing.
So at what cost?
Yeah, you better have deep pockets, you know?
I mean, think about taking an office building and making it into apartments. I mean, that is, you might be better off to tear down the building and start over. It might be less expensive to do that than to convert those because they're not equipped with the water mains running everywhere and everything else that you need.
And soundproofing.
And soundproofing and everything else. So
yeah, the other last week when I was going to Toronto, I stopped by my East End office before leaving. I got 4,500 square feet at my East End office, and I said bye to one person. There was one person. Now, I had some of my admin staff were sick and weren't there and stuff like that, but I had one admin worker in the office that day and no agents, nobody. It was like a ghost town.
And I'm we're lucky. We've got a lot of our agents that like working in the office, so you know, with the exception of Fridays, where Friday's a little light in the office, but, you know, you come in our office definitely Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I mean, our office is bustling still, which is really nice.
That's
it
good.
Feels old school.
Yeah, I would miss not being there.
I still love going to the office. I mean, I'm hybrid in the way that I don't have to be in the office. I'm not being paid to be in the office, but I prefer to go back to the office. And I like when the agents come because we can banter ideas back and forth. We can work on some language
and
some
if you're
skills.
Down the hall, boom, you're right there for you know, spark an idea.
Yeah.
Doesn't happen.
Yeah.
If you're
no. And it's hard. The biggest part with commercial right now, it's hard to create or maintain culture with your company when people are working from home. We don't see him. I have one agent due to medical reasons. I haven't seen him 3.5 years since the pandemic. I haven't seen him.
Greg, I think you should be allowed to work from home.
Greg works from his car.
Like, his home is his car.
So when he first started with me, by the way, I was going to do this at the end of the show, but your 1 year anniversary is coming up on the 15th of this month. So Greg's been with me now for 1 year. How many kilometers do you have in your brand new car?
51,000.
51,000, wow. 1 year in the car.
Wow.
So that's a lot. That's a lot of driving, let me tell you.
Can you not just get listings a little more local, close to his house?
Well, the problem is because of this radio show, we have listings everywhere, you know, like it's all over the valley. In fact, I think you went out and shot a property in Cobden the other day, did you not?
I was in Cobden the other day. I was in Curran yesterday.
I don't even know where Curran is. It's
down St. Isidore way. But,
okay. Wow.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Oh, that's good. It's a nice, reliable car, apparently.
So far, so good.
Yeah.
521-TALK, 521-8255. We'll be right back.
We return to Open House, the Real Estate and Mortgage Show on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Welcome back to the show. Show 800.
Show 800.
The changes we've been through since... The first show.
You think would be so much better, though.
You know what? I think that 900 will be good by 900.
Okay. 900? Sure, yeah. I'm shooting for 1,000.
1,000? Yeah. Well, hopefully
when we started, the average price was about, what, 270, 280?
Well, I could tell you. What year did we start, Steve?
I don't know. Frank would know that. You're the numbers
man.
Well,
we're talking years? 16 years ago, 2007.
2007?
Right? May long weekend, 2007.
2007, the average sale price? $272,000.
Wow.
Yep. So it's gone up.
I remember us talking about that number, actually, the 272. So.
Yeah, it's gone up $400,000 since then. And I strongly believe most of the gains have come as a result of this radio show.
I think you're right.
See, Paul was right, 800 shows. The time to buy is now.
Yes.
He was right.
Yes. What's the best time to buy?
If you bought in 2007, when Paul told you to, you'd be way ahead.
Absolutely. And now I'm telling you, don't be looking back at 2030 when we're in 2030 and say, I wish I would have bought in 2023.
Because every generation says the same thing. Yeah, but my parents got in cheap. And every generation learns that if you get in, you are going to make money.
Steve, I still have people saying, I'm waiting till the bubble bursts. And they've been saying that for probably about 10 years, some people. And I'm just like, what bubble? Like, we're in Ottawa. We're not Toronto, where you go up 14% and then down 14% and up 14%. We are Ottawa. We are a steady market that's gone through 3 or 4 years of crazy increases. But before that, you know, 3%, 4%, 5% every year, sometimes 1%, 2%.
Yeah, we were boring, actually.
We were so boring. I mean, it was so predictable that our average sale price was, what is it going to be this year, 1.7 or 2.1?
Yeah.
You know, it was really, really boring. And then we had a couple, you know, bigger years. And then, you know, obviously the last 2 years have been insane. But, you know, in 2017, we went up 5.5%, then 3.8%, 8.4%, 19.2%, 22%.
Unheard of.
It's unheard of. But before then, we were just modest gains, just boring old Ottawa.
And we were different than the rest of the country, too. We were just steady, boring Ottawa as far as increases went.
But that's what people would say.
But you knew you got your increase.
Lenders loved us, though, and they still do. Lenders still, every time I go to a conference in Toronto, best market in the country is Ottawa. Best market in the country is Ottawa because they feel safe. They just feel safe with the values in Ottawa that there's not going to be the big roller coaster.
I drove through an area in Toronto, and I would say it was probably, for Toronto standards, I would say it's probably one of their more lower-end neighborhoods. I think if it was in Ottawa, it would be a modest, nice neighborhood, but it was a family area, lots of mature trees and that. And there was one house that was for sale. And so I just, you know, I took with my phone, I looked at what they were asking for it. And I think if it was in Ottawa, it would probably be about a $750,000 house. They're asking 1.6 for it. And I'm just like, it's just an average little house. Yep. Average.
So 1.6, what would a mortgage be? What would an average person, if they could afford a $1.6 million?
Even if they can put 20% down, which is 320, you're still stuck with a $1.28 million mortgage.
What's that payment?
At today's rates, between $5,000 and $6,000 a month.
Yeah, I was talking to my real estate coach this weekend. This week, and he was telling me that one of his clients, he's got a phone with one of his clients who's goes on 400 listing appointments himself, which is insane. And he was telling me that his average sale price is $3.2 million. Average sale price.
Wow.
$3.2
million. Where's this, though?
He was in California.
Yeah.
Where was he in California? Newport Beach. So 3 points.
That's his average.
That's his average. Wow. So now he was saying how he's, my real estate coach was saying how he's trying to increase his commission income this year. So he's targeting a higher neighborhoods now with a higher sale prices. I'm like, what's higher than 3.2? He says, oh, no. He's going after the 10, 20, $30 million listings right now. And I'm like, we don't have that in Ottawa. we have a, you know, 6, 7.
I bet he has a professional photographer.
You would hope so. I'm pretty...
iPhone photography at its best.
Yeah, exactly.
But you got to think, some of those homes, how nice would they be? Imagine walking into like a $20, $30 million home.
And they take a while to sell too, though.
Well, you know what? In some of these markets, just like we're adapting to the interest rates the way they are right now, they adapt to those prices. But I ask myself, what do they do for a living? Yeah. Like, who affords a $10, $20, $30 million home?
I mean, say hello to my little friend.
Yeah.
It's interesting you talk about California, because I read a couple of articles this week where some of the movie stars are moving away from California.
Because of the homeless.
Yeah. Wasn't that interesting, eh? Like, too many homeless people, and they just feel awful living in their $8 million homes and seeing all the homeless people around. So they're leaving California and going elsewhere. So.
Well, it's also the taxes too, right? Like, my real estate coach is from Newport Beach, California, and he actually moved to Dallas, Texas because of taxes.
Just before we go, interest rates unchanged?
Unchanged pretty well. Bond market came down the beginning of the week and went up a little bit the end of the week, so we haven't really seen a lot of changes on the interest rate. You can still get a 5-year mortgage if you're insurable, which means 65% or less loan to value on a purchase, or 4.49.
Oh.
And if you're talking 20% down, a 30-year AM, you're closer to the 5% range.
All right.
So, yeah.
Are fix going to come down in the next few weeks?
I think we're going to start to see the fix come down over the summer. So hopefully we can get into the low fours and mid fours, from depending on high ratio to conventional, which would be reasonable at least for now. And then hopefully we can get into the threes in 2024.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
Birthdays?
Birthdays, got a few. My sister-in-law, Carmela, celebrating her birthday this week. My son Stefano, big boy Stefano, his girlfriend Zoe celebrate her birthday. Luigi Bastianelli celebrated his 65th birthday.
Good German, good German friend.
Yeah. And then speaking of Italian, Rico Renzo, my good buddy Renzo, celebrating his birthday this week. So happy birthday to all of them, and of course to all the moms out there, happy Mother's Day.
Absolutely, happy Mother's Day. I just have two anniversaries. Obviously, I mentioned Greg's been with the company 1 year on Monday, and it was probably one of the most, probably one of the best hires I've ever done, was hiring Greg.
It's I'm sure everybody else on your team is loving that.
Oh, no, I've hired a lot of great people, but, you know, I was already spending a fortune on photography. To have it in-house, it's
awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And Mark Purdy, 1 year, the next day, actually on Tuesday, is 1 year with the company as well, one of my inside sales agents. So
now, listen, just before we go, I'm a little disappointed in you, Paul, because when your birthday comes, your mother calls all the time and sings. Tomorrow is Mother's Day. Why did we not call your mother
and
today?
Sing.
We should have. You know what? I'm treating her to a very, very nice lunch tomorrow.
Lunch.
What, she's making lunch for you?
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah.
She hasn't made it up to dinner yet.
Happy Mother's Day out there, all the mothers.
And support local businesses and charities.